Joint Waste Meeting Committee to order. And today we're going to have a work session on Senate Bill 5521 and House Bill 2256. We'll call them to order. I guess I should do one at a time. We just opened the work session for Senate Bill 5521.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have at your place a packet with two different handouts. One is a memorandum from Legislative Fiscal with the recommended adjustments to Senate Bill 5521. And the other is the spreadsheet display that you will be becoming even more familiar with as we progress through the rest of the session, showing the different changes to the governor's budget and also the details of the LFO recommended budget. I'll take you through the memo and refer to the spreadsheet as we get to the pertinent parts of the memorandum. The first section of the memorandum deals with performance measures. An LFO is recommending approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency with the addition of the following measure. That's the addition of the measure that reads percentage of mine land regulation and reclamation program permit holders who rate agency service with an approval rating of good or very good. This came out of our discussions during public hearing back in February, and your desire to see a measure that rated the performance of the permit program, which is the mine land regulation and reclamation program.
Mr. Saber, does this also give us an opportunity to see the complaints, the negative aspects of the performance?
Mr. Chair, I believe you were, as with most agencies, were interested in seeing complaints, and they will be tracking those separately and giving that information during the budget hearing, during their budget presentation next by.
Any questions, comments? Any objections?
Then we come to Section B, adjustments to the governor's balanced budget. The first program unit is geologic survey. There are two program units in the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. The first is geologic survey, the second mine land reclamation. The first set of adjustments are standard adjustments. These are all made in a series of LFO adjustment packages. LFO adjustment package 001 implements the employee compensation freeze. This would create a reduction of $23,851 general fund, $32,056 other funds, $10,210 federal funds. B is the LFO adjustment package 002, vacant position adjustment. There are currently two vacant positions in this program. LFO is recommending eliminating one of these. Most of this position is being used to fund a shift of position funding from general fund and other funds, which is occurring in package 090, which we will get to in a minute. But this is eliminating the position, and the portion of the FTE, as you'll see, it's just 0.02 FTE that's left over after the balance of the position is used for fund shifts in package 090.
Let's go slower here. Any comments, discussion before we move on? Any objections before we move on? Okay.
C is LFO adjustment package 003. That's the Attorney General rate adjustment. This is the adjustment changes reflecting the rate hour change from $109 per hour to $98. You'll see adjustments of a reduction of $337 general fund and $825 other funds. The next package, LFO adjustment package 004, is the DAS assessment adjustments. These reflect reductions in the DAS budget. The reduction is for $2,959 general fund and $2,513 other funds. And the final package in the series of standard adjustments is LFO adjustment package 005, reducing inflation allowance. This package would reduce inflation for all except telecommunications, state government service charges, attorney general costs, and facility rentals. All but facility rentals are adjusted in other packages. Telecommunications and the state government service charges are reduced in package 004, the DAS assessment. And the attorney general, of course, is reduced in package 003, attorney general rate reduction. Package 005 would reduce general fund by $11,145 and reduce other funds by $11,936.
Discussion. Senator Dukes.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I'd like to jump back a second to the 002 package. And I don't remember the discussion at all. It says there's two vacant positions and we're taking one. I was curious as to why we were only taking one.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, the other position is a field office position that the department has held vacant towards the end of the biennium for vacancy savings to fund some fund shifts. We believe that the fund shifts carried out in 090 will provide a more stable source of general fund savings for the agency, and they will have the revenue to fund that field office position during the course of the 0305 biennium. So the only position that we're recommending be eliminated is the editor position, which has been vacant for 14 months, and that's the position that's actually being, most of which is being reduced, and the revenue freed up used to shift other general fund in package 090.
Are both of these vacant positions federal funds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, I believe that the field office position is a combination of other funds and federal funds. It's all federal? All federal funds.
I don't get too excited about federal funds, Mr. Chair. It's just that when an agency chooses to leave a position vacant to do other things, then I assume that that would be at the top of their cut list if we had to make cuts. And I guess since it's federal funds, we probably would lose the money if we get the position, so I'm not going to go there. But I think it always gets my attention when they choose which one they choose to pick as vacancies.
Is that a concern or an objection?
Just a comment. It was my way of finding out if it was general fund money, and I found that it wasn't, so I decided to back off.
The next set of reductions are...
We have another comment. Is there any comments on the other 03, 04, and 05? If not, any objection on those? No. Let's go on.
These adjustments are to policy packages. They also include some technical adjustments. I'll explain a little bit about what's going on in package 081, 082, 091, and 090. When the governor's balanced budget was being put together, the department had put forward a plan to shift positions from general fund to other funds as a way to generate general fund savings assumed in the governor's balanced budget. Due to the very constricted timeline that the Department of Administrative Services was operating under to put the budget together, that plan was put in place, but it wasn't done in a very efficient manner, and DAS had to do some kind of just arbitrary actions to generate the general fund savings. So LFO is recommending that these packages, in essence, for most of them, be zeroed out, at least all the actions that have to do with personnel savings, and zero those out in 081, 082, and 091, and make all the changes in one package, which is 090. Part of the problem previously was because changes were being done in a series of different packages, it was hard to get pieces of positions to line up in the correct places. And by doing all the changes in one package, it's much, much simpler to ensure that all the adjustments equal to the change that they're assumed to, and to make a cleaner adjustment to the funding for these affected positions. So the 081 package would add $100,000 general fund and reduce federal funds to the governor's balanced budget. And this is where I'd refer you to the spreadsheet that I handed out. And on page 6 of 10, if you look at page 6 of 10, under policy packages, you'll see 081, and you'll see that under the LFO recommended budget column, that the change impacted by adding a general fund and reducing the federal funds, in essence, zeroes out that package. And the difference is in the middle. That's what you see on the spreadsheet, on the memo that you have. So if you look under the LFO recommended budget, that's how the budget would look once these adjustments are made. It's a little bit easier to refer to this spreadsheet when you're looking at these packages than to try to think about how the governor's balanced budget gets adjusted. So with the reductions in the package 081, as you see below the policy option package line, the only reduction remaining in that package is right above that. You'll see the 081 also, 2002 third special session, a reduction of $6,921. This was included in the governor's balanced budget for the elimination of COLAs for positions salary range 38 and above. LFO is recommending to leave that portion of the package unchanged, but to eliminate the other reductions in package 081. Likewise for package 082.
Let's do a motion on each one.
Mr. Chair, would you be amenable to waiting until we do the first, all the pieces of this package so it kind of all falls into place for a motion?
Okay. Package 082, likewise you'll see in the LFO recommended budget column, you'll see that package is in essence zeroed out. Again, this adjustment will be taken in the 090 package. And finally, package 091, which is a couple packages up above the line of policy option packages. This package, the personal services changes are eliminated, and the only remaining reduction is a $30,000 general fund reduction that's created by closing the publications warehouse. This was a reduction taken in response to the failure of the tax measure during the special election, and so that's the cut that was implemented. That leaves us to package 090, which has all the adjustments to generate the general fund savings. And this shifts all or parts of four positions from general funds to other funds or federal funds. It also eliminates the 0.98 FTE from the editor position that was discussed earlier and uses those dollars to fund the above shifts. The package also contained $44,505 of S&S reductions taken during special session 2. LFO is recommending increasing this by $25,214 to take the remaining special session 2 reductions. The original cut in the GBB only took part of the reductions taken during the second special session, and LFO is recommending taking all those S&S reductions that had been taken previously during special session 2. So in essence, to roll forward the total S&S cut from special session 2 as opposed to just part of the cut. The all the position actions generate $422,968 of general fund savings, and as I just discussed, the S&S packages or the S&S adjustments produce the balance of the reductions for a total of a general fund reduction of $492,682 and 0.98 FTE. Again, the position is eliminated in package 002.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Morgan.
I would move the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 081, 082, 091, and 090.
Further motion? Is there discussion from Senator Dukes?
Mr. Chair, before we do this, and I'm interested mostly in 090, could we refer back to the section on ending balance? I thought that what LFO put in here was worth paying. They don't have much of an ending balance, and it's other funds. And as we're shifting things over into other funds, it just caused me some concern.
Mr. Schaefer.
Mr. Chair,
respond to that?
Yes, Senator Dukes, that's LFO shares that concern, and hence the inclusion in the other funds ending balance discussion of having the subcommittee make clear its intention that these requests to fund, the interim requests to fund other funds or federal funds revenue shortfalls with general fund wouldn't be considered by the emergency board during the 03-05 biennium. The governor's balanced budget included a number of reductions. that were reductions to positions that the department feels that they can fund these shifts by finding other revenue. And they have acknowledged that it may be difficult to find all this revenue, but rather than have positions eliminated, they would rather look for contracts or projects to work on to fund these positions. And if they're unable to find those positions, to then hold those positions vacant or not to fulfill those positions. And during the 03-05 budget cycle, we would have to take another look at the viability of keeping those positions shifted to other funds or federal funds.
Could we see, Mr. Chair, some a list of what those positions might be? I mean, it just strikes me as this little house of cards. And it's okay if one falls off at the top. It's not so okay if one falls off at the bottom.
Mr. Chair, perhaps the director would like to respond.
We weren't quite put together an agency budget before. We were just hoping that they could go out and find the money to fund their agency.
They've had a lot of experience.
Yeah, true. And they do a good job at fundraising. But
thanks, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. very difficult question you've asked, Senator Dukes, and I would like to spend, if I'm not answering it in a way that is getting to your answer, let me know. One of the challenges, obviously, running our department is to look ahead. For the record, John Bolio, state geologist, director of the department. One of the challenges for this department, of course, is to identify with some confidence outside funding, either of a federal or underfunded nature, that can support whatever commitments we make in the budget process here. Were we having this discussion 2 years ago, I could not come forward with the confidence that I need to put this budget forward. But as fate would have it, the chair of our subcommittee last time asked us to reorganize the department with some more clarity, which we did. And based on that, in Program 1, which is all the TAN stuff there, we set up 2, 4, 6, 7 sections. These sections were, and you can see them, there's the Oregon, Eastern Oregon office, Southwest Oregon office, coastal, geologic hazards, and public education. These sections are kind of management units whose job it is to do certain tasks but also secure certain revenues and meet certain deadlines and then coordinate with each other. And you can see that we've migrated the deputy position over here to be kind of the supervisor of Program 1. And the task here then is to run an operation almost like a consulting firm but not doing consulting jobs for the entire sector, to generally forecast out and develop funding sources. Each of these sections has its list of revenue sources to go after. For example, the hazard section, two people, has conversations going or contracts going with 3 or 4 federal agencies, 3 or 4 local agencies, and we look ahead to other opportunities, and these include some help we're getting from the congressional delegation. What we do in the management of the agency is we go ahead and have our budget, and it prescribes our requirements for other funds and federal funds in Program 1, but alongside that, we have to have a financial projection sheet that says here's what we see coming in, and they better line up with the same totals, with some level of confidence. The financial projection sheet for next biennium, 2003-2005, lines up with the budget. And we anticipate that some of those contracts won't come in, but we also have other leads out there for which we have put zero into the projection sheet, saying right now we're projecting nothing as revenue, even though we know we're going to get something. So because we have this structure to work with, and because each section has its revenue requirements, and we've been struggling with this for a year now because we wanted, you know, dealing with all of the special session cuts and everything else, we've been using this system to give us the, you know, the information we needed to put forward realistic recommendations. We have, I think we have a financial projection and a plan and a strategy and activities and revenue sources for next biennium that does match up with the budget. As to the ending balance, it's noted in your write-up that the ending balance at 2003-2005, the end of the biennium, I believe Paul had put in the number 155,000. The last written material I've seen for this biennium is we think we're going to close at about 100,000. So it shows for the first time, this new system shows for the first time in 6 years that we have leveled out the ending balance, even with this transition that's being proposed here. 4 or 5 years ago, our ending balance was over $500,000. Basically, what I've been trying to do in my 10 years as director is to take this glide path and flatten it out and start getting it to move up again. And it's been quite a challenge. It would have been great had there been no budget cuts. We would have a large ending balance. But I'm proud of the fact that we've leveled out that glide path and started to see it seem to climb in the next two-year time period, even with all of these budget challenges that the states had and that the agencies had. So I'm reasonably and confident with where we're headed here. Now, what's going to happen in 2005 or 2007, I can't tell you that. I don't know.
I have a follow-up, John.
Yeah, John, just curiosity's sake, specifically, what positions are we shifting over to federal funds that we hope we can get?
Yeah, as happy to answer that, Mr. Chair and Senator Dukes. The positions that are being shifted in total within the last year have been the number two position in some of these sections. So the number two position, this was always federal. In the coastal section, it's a number two position. And in the coastal section, we're getting some LCDC contracts, some Corps of Engineer contracts, some state Oregon Department of Transportation contracts, and some contracts from NOAA.
If I could, Mr. Chair, what does the number two position in the coastal section do?
The coastal section, provides the public services and the needs for the coastal section. The number two position does project work, funded project work. And it can be a variety. It can be monitoring a beach, say, near Newport. It can be helping with the slide work for the Department of Transportation at Johnson Creek. It can be looking at lake problems outside of Port Orford. I'm giving real examples. It can be a contract on a new CARISA to help the Department of Justice understand some of the physical aspects of the beach as they enter into lawsuits. On that particular one, the state won the lawsuit, and I believe it was about $20 or $25 million, based in part on our testimony.
Want to follow up?
This makes me a little nervous, Mr. Chair, because we're saying that they've got 1 month's worth of ending balance. They can't come back to the emergency board if they look at the other funds. The positions just go away. And I've just heard the first one, and I don't like that one, so I imagine what the rest of them are. I'll go wherever you want to go with this budget, but I have to tell you that it makes me really nervous. And I was also would throw in the fact that I'm not real comfortable with budgeting zero when you know you're into areas when you know you're going to be getting money in it.
Senator Johnson.
I'd like to follow on where Senator Dukes left off. Conversely, budgeting something when exigencies might produce zero makes me even more nervous. And I guess what I'd like to hear from you is, if things don't work out, what will be the activities that you stop doing? And let me try to set a framework for that. Senator Dukes and I represent one of the only counties that is not part of your system, and I think Mr. Lynch knows, as late as 2 weeks ago, the commissioners were once again visiting the question of whether or not they wanted to hand you the snake ball that is the regulatory problem in Columbia County that is just bristling with litigation. And so my question to you is, it seems as though you're setting up the perfect storm. You're betting on the come for money. You've got some unknowns that are beyond your ability to control. We're leaving you no safety valve at the e-board. We're leaving you a modest ending balance, negligible, I might go so far as to say. So all of this coincides at some point. What aren't you going to do?
Okay. Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, a couple comments to try to get your answer. First, in counting funding with certainty, we don't apply certainty to our projections unless we have a multi-year commitment out of the agency. For example, with the Department of Transportation, we have a 3 or 4 year contract. With NOAA, it's a 5 year repeating authorization. With the U.S. Geological Survey National Earthquake Reduction Program, it's a 5 year commitment. With the USGS State Map Program, it is a multi-year commitment that has been stable and growing since 1980. So in the projection sheets, we do not count dollars with firmness unless we have a good track record and there's a multi-year authorization commitment out of Congress, for example, or out of the state agency. So that gives us a good conservative base to operate from. I'm kind of struck by the irony of the question because I'm more confident in the federal funds there than I am the general funds. So that takes care of the base level numbers that we come up with. For the ones where we'll see a contract out that we think we're going to get and we think it's relevant and we think we're going to be successful. There has been a lot of discussion in our management meetings on how do you count this, but until we feel pretty good about it, we're going to throw a zero in there. At least it gets it on the list so we have it on our radar screen. The section leader knows who they're supposed to be talking to, but I don't want to count that money. And during the course of a biennium, the way it plays out, let's say we anticipate 50 contracts. Some of those aren't coming through, but then some of the ones that we've been conservative with do come through. The question you've asked then is, so that's the kind of the thinking that goes into this, and is it a challenge and has it been difficult? And is there, do you always sleep at night? No, those are all challenging things. The general fund part of my budget causes me more distress. In terms of what is going to be cut, we've had to ask ourselves repeatedly, what are the core values of our programs that we think are just absolutely uncuttable, and they're just the core value of the program? And there are basically three components, and these have been all part of our discussions with Paul through the past year and also with DAS. One of the core elements of our agency is the field offices, which are some of these sections. And the reason that they're the core value is that's where the problems are, that's where the people are, that's where our services are. And our core value as an agency is professional involvement in problem solving and a flexible way out in the field, where we determine what the answers really are instead of sitting in Salem or Portland and just kind of saying what we wish the answer was. So the field offices are paramount. They have been there since the beginning of time, and they are the basis of our success. They also are the basis of a lot of the revenue that we draw in. The field offices tend to bring in enough to support themselves, even with the soft money positions and maybe a little bit extra. Two other components of the agency that simply cannot be lost are, one is the what I call the service delivery system, which is getting the information in the right format to the right people at the right time that it does some good. For example, our workshops with cities on landslides, for example. We have to get the information to the stakeholders in Oregon so that it actually does some good. Last week, Charles Kirby, of our business office here, he made a very startling statement to me that I never thought of it this way. He said when he came to the office, we used to have a warehouse, and we'd print all of our pubs on paper and ship them to the warehouse, and they'd collect dust, and we didn't have a delivery system. Nowadays, we have a public service delivery system getting information out to people, and as you just heard, we don't have a warehouse. And so we've made a great transition towards translating our technology to service for the people in the communities of Oregon. That's the second part. That's the series of boxes in the middle where we have seven of them, and we just lost the editor. And the third part of the program, this is all program one I'm talking about, is the very thin administration that basically is the business office that counts the money and keeps the contracts going and makes sure that all the dots are dotted and that we've got the right indirect cost rate with our Cognizant agency and all that. And then also the deputy director and the director, who I've noted many times over, are scientists first and bureaucrats second. And so both Vicki and I are always involved mentally in the technical side of projects and trying to give them proper direction. Those are what cannot be cut. What can be cut are the thematic spin-off activities that come and go, and in this particular case, it's some part of the geohazard section. If you're not going to cut the field offices, you have to go to Portland and say, what's the bumping scenario here that's dictated by state law, or what is the thing up here that is in the field office? Over the course of those 30 years I've been with the department, we've had a variety of spin-off thematic activities that have come and gone. We've had metallic minerals come and go. You start with general funds, then you get some project money. At some point, it fades out, and whatever residual knowledge is needed there is in the field office. We've had industrial minerals. We've had offshore cooperatives with the federal government on minerals. We've had geothermal energy. We've had rock lab. We've had environmental studies for counties. And so we've had a series of these thematic things that for some reason there's a problem within the state we give a proper emphasis for between 5 and 10 years, and then it fades back to a background level that is sustained either by the field offices or the outreach section, and we take on something new. The new thing that we are now beginning to take on, it was determined by the board in their last round of strategic planning completed in 2001. It says we should begin to start producing in better ways geologic information consistent with our statutes and consistent with the desires of water resources, for example, that helps the state to collectively be able to solve some of its water problems.
John, I'd like to try to cut to the chase here. The bottom line is that we either cut positions or we give you the opportunity to leave the positions in and the opportunity to provide service, which we're all interested in. And as I said earlier, you folks have had experience with this. It is a step in faith to some degree, no doubt about it. But if we're able to provide the services to our communities and do it in this manner, I think we should encourage it, quite frankly. But it is difficult. It's a different way of doing business than we're used to, no doubt about it. But we've kind of forced you into this corner. And
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, we are in a corner. And the corner basically says, you think you can make do with a little more of other people's money, or you just terminate it now. And my confidence level is that we should try to continue to perform those services. One option you might consider would be to ask us to return in a year if we had a problem and just report how things are going.
Follow-up, Representative.
I don't know how you feel, Mr. Chair, about the possibility of a report. I guess I'd like to leave a safety valve in this. I applaud the entrepreneurial approach that they've taken to the budget, and would that other agencies thought that way and were as nimble and lean as you guys are. Having said that, however, I know that much of what you do is reclamation, is regulation, and I would hate to have us build a budget that puts some of those activities in jeopardy. I was trying to see if there was a connection somehow back with the fee bill, given that the industry that profits, and I mean that in every sense of the word, from your ability to do good reclamation and regulation, whether there'd been ample discussion with them to anticipate the very narrow parameters of the fee that they have agreed to, whether there was any... I'm just trying to provide a safety valve somewhere for you guys to be able to come back to the legislature and say you knowingly passed a budget that was this lean, and we want an opportunity to report.
I want to make very clear, Representative Johnson, we're talking about Program 1. Program 2 is stable funding. So we're not worried about the regulation and the reclamation.
That's correct. Thank you for that clarification. That's a comfort.
Representative Morgan.
I just want to reiterate, too, that the agency, it would seem to me, would have the ability to, through BAM and through LFO, to talk to the emergency board if there was an issue that arose that warranted that discussion. But I share Director Bolio's sentiment that the general fund is really what's in jeopardy here more than anything else, and that I think that the agency has demonstrated a very strong ability to go after contracts, other funded contracts, federally funded contracts, and done it very successfully. And the downside risk here, in my estimation, is special session 1, 2, or 3 of the 03 of interim, and not relying on going for the grants.
I think there's some justification in that.
Any other comments, discussion? Any objection?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to test your tolerance for fund shifting, LFO recommends adjustment package 006, which is an additional fund shift of two positions, one of which is shifted partially in 090, and that is a geohazards position, which is primarily general fund. The ability believes that they can find a little more federal funds to the tune of about $35,000 to fund that position. The second position is a position that's in the Nature of the Northwest Information Center, which you heard about during the public hearing, which is the provides pamphlets, books for a number of different agencies in the ground floor of the state office building in Portland. That position currently is funded 70% general fund and 30% federal funds on agreement with the, I believe, the U.S. Forest Service. LFO is recommending that a portion of that position, about 30%, be reduced from general fund to other funds, and that that position be funded through the proceeds from the store, so that we would recommend you move towards making the store completely self-sufficient. Currently, the proceeds pay the rent and other associated costs, but the general fund is still paying a portion of that position, and currently a majority of that position. We would recommend a movement towards a more equal split between general, other fund, and federal funds. And that is that adjustment package would be reducing general fund by $72,020, increasing other funds $37,130, and increasing federal funds by $34,890.
Chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation for policy package 006.
The motion, the discussion to the motion.
Actually, this is LFO adjustment package 006.
Is your objection to the motion? The motion carries.
The second program, number two, is mine land reclamation. As was mentioned earlier, this is a almost entirely other funded program unit, which we'll be getting to shortly. Standard adjustments in this program, A is the LFO adjustment package 001, the employee compensation freeze. This would reduce other funds by $15,497 and reduce federal funds by $10,998 to implement the salary freeze. LFO adjustment package 002 is vacant position adjustments. There's currently one position vacant in this program. This position's been vacant due to a lack of revenue, and the department believes, as LFO does, that with passage of House Bill 2256, which you'll be considering next, which is a fee increase, that this position will be able to be funded. Therefore, LFO does not recommend eliminating this vacant position at this time.
Any concerns?
LFO Adjustment Package 003, Attorney General Rate Adjustments. This is a reduction of $2,421 other funds. And then LFO Package Adjustment, LFO Adjustment Package 005, Reduce Inflation Allowance. Reduces, again, eliminates inflation for all except telecommunications, state government service charges, attorney general, and facilities rental. And this is a reduction of $4,389 other funds.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendations on adjustment package 001, 002, and 003, and 005.
heard the motion. Discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Next section is policy packages and other adjustments. There's just one package in this program, which is package 090, program reductions. As we discussed earlier, the department underwent a reorganization during the interim. As part of this reorganization, a position that had a small amount of general fund attached to it was moved to the Mine Land Regulation and Reclamation Program. Legislative Fiscal is recommending that this shift of general funds to other funds that's included in the governor's balanced budget be continued. Therefore, the only change LFO is recommending to the package is in lieu of a reduction to service and supplies, other funds, LFO recommends a shift of personal services of other funds of $32,071 from other funds personal services to federal funds personal services. The department believes that it needs the services supplies that are currently in the program, but does anticipate some minor increases in the amount of work it does for the federal government under federal contract, and believes that the revenue will be there to support this adjustment. And that adjustment would amount to an increase over the governor's balanced budget of $27,805 and an increase of $7,135 federal funds.
Mr. Chair, I move the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 090.
You've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carries.
That comes to section C, other funds ending balance, which we've touched on already. As was mentioned, the department's ending balance, projected ending balance for 0305 is $155,046. The committee will be considering some amendments to House Bill 2256 that may improve this position a little bit by moving up the implementation date of the fee increase, but it's not a substantial change to the overall ending balance for the department. Again, LFO is recommending no change to the department's ending balance due to its minimal nature. And because of the small ending balance and the changes to shift positions from general funds to other funds and federal funds in lieu of position reductions, which result in an even greater reliance on other funds' revenue, LFO recommends that the subcommittee make clear its intention that the DOGAMI is to, if at all possible, avoid coming to the emergency board to ask for general fund to relieve itself of the obligations under the budget as recommended. This is simply to acknowledge that this is perhaps not the most stable source of general fund savings by shifting to as yet unrealized other funds and federal funds revenue. But LFO believes it's also important to ensure that the agency isn't let off the hook by then coming back and asking for general fund from the emergency board and thus avoiding reductions in the first place. And that's the basis for the recommendation to the subcommittee to, if at all possible, suggest the department avoid coming to the emergency board for emergency funding beyond true emergencies.
Fund any balance recommendation. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would recommend LFO's recommendation as regarding the ending balance, but I'd like to get some discussion on the record.
Okay.
I agree with Mr. Siebert's recommendation and the thought train that went into making it. But and I think that the expectation is very clear and on record that the department will go for other funds and federal funds to fund the position. But I also would like to have it understood that the e-board is open for emergency requests, but you know, the downside of that is going to be that general fund is going to require a discussion of something that is a true emergency and not just a funding shortfall.
Okay. Is there more discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries.
Finally, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Section D, recommended changes to the appropriation bill. LFO recommends amending Senate Bill 5521. In line 7, delete $3,118,727 and insert $2,976,282. In other funds, in line 9, delete $2,877,181 and insert $2,926,332. For federal funds, in line 17, to delete $2,029,359 and insert $1,994,467.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
I move the LFO recommended changes to the appropriation bill as stated by Mr. Siebert.
You've all heard the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carries. We need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 5521 as amended to the full ways and means with the due pass recommendation.
Again, you've heard all heard the motion. Is there a discussion of the motion? Objection to the motion. Motion carries. We need a carrier. Okay, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5521 and open the work session on House Bill 2256.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2256 is the fee increase bill for permits in the mining operations program. This bill comes to you from, now I'm drawing a blank on the House committee that it comes from, where the bill was amended to include only increases for the 03-05 biennium. There was the original bill envisioned a series of increases over the next couple of biennium, and this was changed to just have one fee increase. The bill currently does not have any type of emergency clause. Therefore, in the packet that you have with you, you'll see that there's a fiscal impact statement, there's the dash A2 amendments to be considered, and a staff measure summary. The dash A2 amendments would move the effective date of the bill to September 1st of 03. This is the shortest time possible the department believes it can implement the fee increase and begin to collect the increased revenues. When the department submitted the original legislative concept, there was a little confusion on when bills become operative. And they were operating under the old premise that bills become operative 90 days after they are approved. And instead, of course, now we have bills that are operative on January 1st of the preceding year. So the A2 amendments simply include an operative date of September 1st of 2003. We understand that the industry is in support of this change. Again, this increase in fees will allow the department to fill a position that's currently vacant because of a lack of funding.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Morgan?
I move the dash A2s into House Bill 2256.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carried.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2256 as amended to full ways and means with a due pass recommendation.
Then you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carried.
Means and carriers.
Is there any volunteers to carry the bill?
I think Representative Krieger looks like he's
Representative Krieger, would you like to carry to the full and to the House?
I think the people who are making all the motions should be doing the carrying.
They've already done their work. So.
That's fine.
And I'll carry it. I'll carry today.
She's still making motions to carry. I was going to carry.
I'm ignoring her if you notice. With that, we'll
close the committee. Thank you very much.
I tried bourbon last night. Nobody told me about that.